What exactly does the word holiness mean? Well, to help us understand that concept, Skip Heitzig is going to redefine it a bit.
Now, when you hear the word, or I hear the word holiness, it doesn't excite most people. Because we have weird things in our minds. Oh yeah, holiness. That's guys in long robes who live out in caves in the desert, and they do weird things like fast for several days at a time, and they isolate themselves from people, and they think thoughts of God because they're holy. I want you to rethink the word. I want you to think the word holy, H-O-L-Y, as being holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. The idea of holy with a W is total or complete. You are complete when you draw near to God in holiness.
Make the connection. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins. Whoa, whoa.
If you were put in charge of a nuclear reactor, would you just toss the instruction manual aside and do your best to wing it? Would you figure out that it can't be all that hard to handle a nuclear plant and its waste? Of course not. That's a manual you'd keep and read it very carefully, because you'd be operating something that needs to be handled with caution and care. Well, I once heard a pastor refer to the book of Leviticus in the same manner. It's our instruction book on how to handle a relationship with an almighty, holy God with caution and care. And Skip Heitzig will take a closer look at this instruction manual today here on The Connection. But before we begin, we'd like to ask for your help in introducing people all over the world to the amazing privilege of having a relationship with God. Here's more about Global Connectors.
Did you feel that? It's the world of technology shifting under our feet. Media delivery and communication is moving so fast, it seems like a landslide. Let's remember, the World Wide Web was not a major consumer factor in 1990. Now, we have screenagers who have never known life without Google. Our language has changed to include words like blog and phrases like, I'll Facebook you. It's changed entertainment with digital streaming of films on demand or opportunities to find 15 minutes of fame on YouTube. It's also changing evangelism by giving us opportunities to reach more people in more parts of the world than ever before. Let's remember, the Bible says all things were created for God's glory. So just as the Roman roads were really built not for legions, but for Paul's feet, the web's highest use is for the gospel and Bible teaching. At The Connection, we strive to stay on top of tech trends and use them to the max for our ministry. You can help as a member of the Global Connectors. With your monthly contribution, you'll make it possible for even more people in more countries to hear biblical teaching on the internet, to get digital and online resources to help people study the Bible, and for more people to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. Plus, each month, we'll send you a little thank you gift. This month, you'll receive a teaching from Skip Heitzig called, You're on a Mission from God.
So you've seen that bumper sticker, I'd rather be fishing. God would rather have you be fishing too, but fishing for souls, fishing for men.
The Connection continues to find new ways to use technology to spread God's word around the world. And you can help make that happen as a Global Connector. Find out how you can sign up today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
And also keep in mind that it's your support of The Connection that helps us reach out with the gospel through these daily broadcasts all over the world. So any way you can help support The Connection financially is a big blessing to more people than you know. Find out more about how to support The Connection when you call 1-800-922-1888. Although Jesus Christ has bridged the gap between a holy God and humanity, that doesn't mean that we can now approach Him irreverently, which is why the book of Leviticus is still a vital book for Christians to be familiar with. Stay tuned for more.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into
open your Bibles to the book of Leviticus. And as you find your place, Skip Heitzig begins our study today by highlighting the obscurity of this particular book of the Bible.
If you were to ask the average Christian what's your favorite book in the Bible, you probably wouldn't hear Leviticus. You wouldn't have people say, yeah, my life verse is in Leviticus. Or, yeah, Leviticus is the place I often go to for personal comfort. In fact, as I mentioned Sunday, it's the book where a lot of people ditch their New Year's resolutions. If their resolution was, I'm going to read through the Bible, they make it through Genesis, it's exciting. They make it through Exodus, it's exciting till you get to chapter 21. Then it slows down a bit, and then it's all over in Leviticus. It's like, forget it. And there's so many people that have never read this book. Yet, the Bible does say all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And that would mean this is part of it. In fact, did you know that in ancient times, in some Jewish communities, Leviticus was where they started training their children? I know that sounds outlandish to give a kid Leviticus. You think, wait a minute, that's for like seminary graduates. No, they would start them young in this book. And a passage in the Midrash says this: little children are pure, and the sacrifices are pure. Let those who are pure come and occupy themselves with pure things. So that's what we're going to do tonight in this book. Okay. In the book of Leviticus, the children of Israel who have left Egypt and they're going through the wilderness, they don't move at all in this book. They're camped out in the wilderness of Sinai, and the book ends right where the book begins. They're not making any physical progress during this book. It opens and closes in the same spot. And the book has a theme. The book has a theme, and here it is. The theme of this book is the way to God through sacrifice. The way to God through sacrifice. You could even narrow that theme down to a single word: holy, or holiness. Now, when you hear the word, or I hear the word holiness, it doesn't excite most people, because we have weird things in our minds. Oh yeah, holiness, that's guys in long robes who live out in caves in the desert, and they do weird things like fast for several days at a time, and they isolate themselves from people, and they think thoughts of God because they're holy. I want you to rethink the word. I want you to think the word holy, H-O-L-Y, as being holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. The idea of holy with a W is total or complete. You are complete when you draw near to God in holiness. When you become H-O-L-Y, holy, you become whole. It's how God wants you to live. Now, you're going to find a lot of the theme of this book as holiness, holiness, holiness. You're going to hear the repeated phrase where God says, "For I am holy." And here's why. Here's a key. The way to happiness is through holiness. Parents, teach your children that. Teach your children, if they want to be happy people, they should be holy people. You think of Jesus Christ. People notice something about his life. There he was. He didn't have a place to lay his head at night. He was wandering around Galilee and on into Jerusalem. And yet he was so attractive. There was a vibrancy. There was a spark about him. And it was because of the righteousness, the holiness, the proximity to his Father that gave that off, and people noticed it. And so the way to happiness is the way of holiness. Now I'm going to read a quote to you by Peggy Noonan. She was the former President Reagan speechwriter, and she said this: "It is odd that some Christians see themselves as the media does, as bland guys in gray suits with gray buzz cuts. They ought to see themselves as a young Marlon Brando on a Harley. For they," that is believers, Christians, "are the true anti-establishment, the true rebels, and with a cause." I like that. Holiness, you might say, is being a rebel with a cause. rebel against this world. Rebel against the values and the standards. If you want to be a true nonconformist, don't be like the world. Anybody, any dead fish can float downstream. Being different, being whole, being holy is the way to happiness, and it's the way to pleasing God. Well, in Genesis, we saw the condemnation for sin. Remember, it was the fall. And the fallout because of the fall. It was the condemnation because of sin. It brought a fall on all of mankind. That's Genesis. Then we came to Exodus, and we saw that it was redemption for their sin, as God took them out of the bondage they were in and brought them through the wilderness. Now we have separation from their sin, and that's the book of Leviticus. The sin issue has to be dealt with, and it's dealt with here. Now, let me tell you a key word in this book, besides holy. It's the word blood. Blood. 88 times the word blood is going to show up in the book of Leviticus. Frankly, it's a bloody book. And one of the reasons people don't like it is because there's so much blood. And here's the key lesson. Here's the reason why. Leviticus and the mention of blood shows us the awfulness of sin. This is what sin will do. It makes a bloody mess of things. And so an innocent victim, i.e. an animal, the blood was shed, sacrifices were made, because the wages of sin is death. So it's either our death or an innocent victim's death, and hence blood will be mentioned a lot. So Leviticus shows the awfulness of sin. Death, blood. It also shows us the graciousness of God. Besides God saying, I'm holy, I'm holy, I'm holy, and the awfulness of sin, you'll find the phrase, I will forgive, or I will forgive their sins. So the awfulness of sin, but also the graciousness of God. And as we get into chapter 1, and by the way, chapters 1 through 7 form a unit of the sacrifices that were brought to the tabernacle and the blood that was shed. They form a unit, the offerings that were given. Although everybody in Israel brought an offering to the Lord, there was only one group of people that received those offerings and sacrificed those animals, and that was the tribe of Levi. Yeah, not everybody could do it. There was only one special tribe in Israel that was set apart to do the business of the tabernacle, to receive the animal, slit the throat, drain the blood, pour the blood at the base of the altar, bring in the burnt offering, etc. So not just everybody could do it, but a special priesthood could do it, and it was the tribe of Levi. You had to have the right genetics, or you might say you had to have the right genes, and it was the Levi genes, seriously, literally here, for the sacrifices. Really? You had to be of the tribe of Levi. Okay. You're thinking, oh, you worked that baby in. Okay, we're flying over this book tonight. So in flying over this book, I want you to notice out the window four landmarks in chapters 1 through 17. Four landmarks. The first one is personal. The second one is professional. The third one is ritual. And the fourth one is national. So let me go back to those four, because we're going to zip quickly through it and you're going to notice them out the window of the airplane, so to speak. The first section that we want to look at, chapters 1 through 7, are laws of personal proximity. It answers the question, how can I approach God? How could I ever, being a human being and imperfect, hang out and fellowship with a perfect, holy God? And it's through the sacrifices that are given. And then second, chapters 8 through 10, are laws of professional activity. Laws of professional activity. And it answers the question, how can I serve God? And it's about the priests whose profession it was to offer those sacrifices. So laws of personal proximity, laws of professional activity. And then the third is chapters 11 through 15, laws of ritual purity. Ritual purity. And it answers the question, how can I stay clean before the Lord? And then fourth, finally, laws of national sanctity. That's chapters 16 and 17. And they talk about how the nation should obey God. So we're going to fly over those. Chapters 1 through 7 is the first one, laws of personal proximity. It has to do with worship through animal sacrifice, through offerings. This is the worship that God prescribes for the people to approach God. God is looking today for worshipers, not animal sacrificers. We don't need animals because of Jesus. His blood is enough. But God is on the lookout, according to Jesus in John 4, for true and authentic worshipers. A.W. Tozer once said, "Worship is the missing jewel of the evangelical church." The missing jewel of the evangelical church. I wonder, as God looks through our group here tonight in Albuquerque, New Mexico, how many authentic worshipers he finds, those who are in it for God's glory, for God's fame, for his majesty. Well, chapter 1 is the burnt offering. That's right, a burnt offering. An animal is brought before the tabernacle. It is burned upon an altar. And we see that animal sacrifices are instituted. Now, go back in your mind. This is not the first time an animal is killed to cover sin. What's the first occasion of that? It's in Genesis, after the garden incident in chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together because they said, well, we woke up one day and discovered we were naked, so we covered ourselves. The Bible says that God took the skins of animals and covered them. Well, that animal had to be killed for those skins to cover Adam and Eve. So what God instituted right after the fall is what he now continues in ritual form with the children of Israel. Verse 1, now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall sprinkle the blood and sprinkle the blood all around the, bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. We understand that mankind has a huge problem. How on earth is sinful man going to hang out with holy God? Sin is the great separator. That virus has infected our race from the very beginning after the fall of Adam. Well, the first seven chapters are about remedying that. And it is by shedding blood. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Okay, so they brought these sacrifices. And you have to keep in mind what this would look like to the worshiper. It was a very visual worship system. That is, it was... the ability to see rather than just hear at this point in their history what sin did and what was required to cover it. So this great pageantry of animal sacrifice, it was like watching a drama on stage. And all of these sacrifices express the truths visually rather than verbally. This is sort of the equivalent of ancient television. I mean, they saw acted out in front of them every time an animal was brought, what their sin did. Now, I'm going to throw this in. Because we live in a day and age where people say, well, all religions are the same and all roads lead to God. Well, if that's true now, was it true back then? Some would say, of course it was. It's always been true. All paths lead to God. It doesn't matter what you believe in. That's called relativism. The Bible teaches the opposite. The Bible teaches exclusivism. There is only a certain way that anybody can approach God, and according to Leviticus, it's by the shedding of blood of an innocent victim. And so the sacrifices. In one sense, they're reparatory. They cure the problem. I'm separated from God. How do I approach God? Well, you bring an animal, blood is shed, you can hang out with God by the shedding of blood. Number two, they're anticipatory. They point forward to the finished work of Jesus Christ and his shed blood once and for all of our sins. Well, go down to chapter 2, because the sacrifices in Leviticus 1 through 7 go beyond just sacrifice for sin. Listen carefully. They also deal with personal surrender and thanksgiving. Do you ever come to a place where you aren't asking God for anything, or you're not doing something because you have to do it? You just say, Lord, I know I don't have to do this, but I want to because I'm so thankful for all that you've done. Well, there were offerings specifically for that. Chapter 2, verse 1, when anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be a fine flour. He shall bring pour oil on it, put frankincense on it, bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, one of whom shall take it from a handful of fine flour and oil with all the frankincense, and the priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Okay, this was the only unbloody offering. It was grain, meal, ground up, oil was poured in it, made into little cakes. Part of it was burned, given to the Lord. Part of it was given to the priests to be their bread at home. The priests, that'd be part of what they would eat. It would sustain them. It was part of the offerings that they would accept. Now, this offering was prepared by the worshiper. It symbolizes the work of our hands. So that is, I'm going to offer something to the Lord. It's going to take time and it's going to cost me. And just as a matter of thanksgiving, I'm going to offer it, surrender to the Lord, the work of my hands.
Well, if nothing else, reading through the book of Leviticus should create a renewed sense of gratitude for what Christ has done for us. His sacrifice was good enough to let us come into the presence of God whenever we want. And more than that, his death and resurrection means that God will always see us as righteous and holy because of Christ, something our own efforts could never accomplish. What an amazing gift. What a precious blessing. That's all the time we have for today. But before we go, since we're going through a study of the entire Bible, we thought we'd share with you some resources that will help you go more in depth with your study of the Bible at home.
It's an ancient text full of power and mysteries, and its words have helped shape the course of history and change the lives of millions of people all over the world. It grants the power to peer through the fog of time into the future and lends perspective to how history has been shaped to influence the lives of each and every one of us.
It's the Bible, the best-selling book that many people have never read, let alone studied. At The Connection, we want to help change that. This month, as we begin the journey of the Bible from 30,000 feet, we want you to have some excellent and helpful study tools. We have the Connection Study Kit that includes Skip's book, How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It, and the compact versions of the Nelson Bible Dictionary and the New Strong's Concordance. These helpful tools will help you get the most out of your time of Bible study. Get all three books for yourself or a friend for just $30 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. The Bible has the most powerful words ever put to paper, and getting the most of studying them takes time, tools, and instruction. Order the Connection Study Kit and get Skip's book, How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It, along with the compact versions, Nelson's Bible Dictionary, and the New Strong's Concordance for just $30 when you call the Connection at 1-800-922-1888.
And when you call to place your order, don't forget that you could also order today's message for just $6, which includes shipping. Just call 1-800-922-1888. Or visit connectionradio.org. Or if you prefer, you can always write us to place your order or just to share a testimony or prayer request. Our mailing address, The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross.
we'll continue to explore the important instructions Leviticus shares with us on how to properly approach a holy God. So be sure to join us again next time here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.